Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com. Woodhill Community Center. Have a hand in the heart of the city. Support their mission with your donations at woodhillcommunitycenter.org. Toyota in Nicholasville Superstore. Online consultants are standing by right now to help you find your next Toyota. Visit toyotaonnicholasville.com. Lexus of Lexington. Home of the best-selling Lexus IS. Find yours today at lexusoflexington.com. Introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.
Good morning, Philip.
Good morning, Ricardo.
How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty well. Monday is Labor Day.
Mm-hmm. I forget that there is a free day, and it falls on my day off always because it's a Monday.
So Labor Day is like the unofficial end of summer, and then Memorial Day is the unofficial beginning of summer. Is this true in other parts of the world where, you know, those are civil holidays?
Here? Very interesting. First thing I would say is that 20 years in the U.S., and I still get confused sometimes, but I tend to get confused about them. So I would say I was ordained on Labor Day when it was Memorial Day. The other thing that is very interesting, and in Europe, we celebrate Labor Day in a much different way than we do here. Here we do barbecues, and it's what you said, the unofficial end of summer, even though we hope for good weather to persist a little bit more. But in Europe, Labor Day is May 1st, and it actually commemorates an incident that happened in Chicago in the U.S. In the 19th century, the Haymarket affair. It was a theoretically peaceful demonstration that ended up badly in Chicago. But elsewhere in the world, that's the day chosen to celebrate the Day of the Worker.
I learned something today.
Yep.
I didn't know that there was a connection to an American event and then Labor Day in other parts of the
country. It's a bit of an irony that precisely something that happened here is celebrated elsewhere as the Day of the labor worker. I'm also very glad that we are back to Mark's Gospel. After a couple of months of reading John's Gospel, the Bread of Life Discourse, chapter 6, we are back to Mark. And we are reading today Mark chapter 7, verses 1 to 8, 14 to 15, and 21 to 23.
When the Pharisees with some scribes who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus, they observed that some of his disciples ate their meals with unclean, that is, unwashed hands. For the Pharisees, and in fact all Jews, do not eat without carefully washing their hands, keeping the tradition of the elders. And on coming from the marketplace, they do not eat without purifying themselves. And there are many other things that they have traditionally observed, the purification of cups and jugs and kettles and beds. So the Pharisees and scribes questioned him, "Why do your disciples not follow the tradition of the elders, but instead eat a meal with unclean hands?" He responded, "Well did Isaiah prophesy about you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines human precepts.' You disregard God's commandment, but cling to human tradition." He summoned the crowd again and said to them, "Hear me, all of you, and understand. Nothing that enters one from outside can defile that person, but the things that come out from within are what defile. From within people, from their hearts, come evil thoughts, unchastity, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, licentiousness, envy, blasphemy, arrogance, folly. All these evils come from within, and they defile." So there's a lot going on here. So first of all, I might be mistaken, but I think now we're going to continue truly with Mark's Gospel mm-hmm. until the end of ordinary time.
I believe that's the case.
Which is about 12 more Sundays. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot going on here. You, of course, can speak about Jesus' relationship here with different strands of Judaism, with Pharisees and scribes and others, and that relationship of religious observances and practices along with what's inside, and then really our behavior, what comes from outside and what comes from within. There's just a lot here.
I think it's a gospel that puts it very clearly, and I know we will probably not agree 100% on this one, but Jesus' relationship to rules and regulations, especially in matters of religion, in matters of faith. And Jesus really is putting a lot of distance between the dry observance of the law. And it's interesting to look at Matthew's gospel, where we know that his audience was much more Jewish and much more into tradition, and he finds way to be a little bit more flexible on this. But Mark is very clear. Jesus is saying religious observance without the heart, so to speak, without the love, then doesn't make much sense.
Now, here's something I feel very strongly about that I suspect you're saying the same thing and we would agree, but it's not the observances versus what's on the inside or what's motivating that, but they have to go together.
Mm-hmm.
I think we have to be careful not to read too much into this and project this as saying, Jesus is saying, you don't have to follow any rules or any observances. What he's saying is just criticizing people who are very, very too connected to that without the interior motivation.
It's all about the rules for some people, as we know. There is an interesting way to look at this famous book Rebuilt by Father White and Tom Corcoran. One of the chapters, I don't know if it's the first book or the second book, The Tools for Rebuilding or Rebuilt, but there is a chapter that I always remember, Pharisees at Heart. And the point they're trying to make is that many of our people today, including ourselves, we have the temptation of becoming Pharisees. The minute the rule, the law, the observance becomes more important than what's motivated it, then we have a problem. One very clear example is Lent. We have the observances of Lent, but either you give them heart or they don't mean anything. I always believe that not eating meat on Fridays, well, it has to translate into something. Or when we give up coffee or we give up dessert during Lent, it's okay to have the observance. But if it doesn't help anybody, then it's just a dry observance of the law. Maybe it helps also to save some money, and then we can give it to the poor as an example of following the rule, but also it helps someone, or at least it helps you to go beyond the self. You know what I mean?
I think you've said that very well. When it comes to motivation, then, when it comes to what's inside, we also can't wait for the perfect moment or the perfect motivation. Sometimes we just need to do something,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that's why I think it's a little bit more complicated relationship between actions and what's on the inside or the reason for doing it, because sometimes, frankly, we just need to start to do something, and not that the motivation follows necessarily, but, you know, something interiorly follows. This, of course, is true with exercise. Sometimes you just need to start, and then more of the motivation follows that, and a lot of other things happen after that. And I think it's true here as well that sometimes you just need to start. Ideally, though, you want to know why, to understand that, and to have a deeper reason, all about growing closer to God, all about a relationship to God. And I think that's the issue with an attachment just to rules, is it's not really about God in the end. It may seem so, but it's not about God in the end.
As you also know me well, this is a pierced gospel. When I was reading what we were going to read, Mark 7, 1 to 8, 14 to 15, 21 to 23, parts of what we are skipping are exceptions to laws. And that's, I think, something that Jesus is saying also, and that we do ourselves very often. We know the rules, but then we it's interesting how we make exceptions to some of these rules when they favor us.
Right.
I've seen these people in parishes who are very strong about the rules, except when it touches them, that then they ask you to be flexible with the rules. And I'm okay being flexible, but why are we being flexible now when these people were not flexible in other things, because it didn't touch on them so directly?
And not only in church, so I agree with you. I see that in our faith communities, but also as you look out in the world, a very selective outrage sometimes, or we're selective about what really bothers us. Mm-hmm. And then there are other things that we'll do that we just let go.
I'm not selective. Everything bothers me. So, but I think you know what I mean, right? One of the exceptions that we don't read in the gospel today is because the commandment was to honor your father and your mother, unless it was an economic responsibility you had towards your parents. That's what it was. That's what the commandment was. But then the temple had allowed people to, instead of helping your parents, you could help the church. So it was a stewardship strategy of first century Palestine.
Right.
And Jesus calls for hypocrisy, hypocrisy of making an exception when it favors the institutional church of the time.
Right. I just want to look at the last paragraph.
Yeah.
What Jesus provides there in that list, those things that come from within, that come from our hearts, that lists their, I don't know if this is good or bad, but that's a very inclusive list.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. I can't think of many vices that I've fallen into or that I know people have fallen into that aren't really included in Jesus' list there. They're not just examples. That's a pretty complete list. And I'm sure there are things that don't fall into that. But I think what Jesus is trying to convey here is that the relationship to the human heart. And that really is what this whole gospel is about, that what's coming from the human heart here. And hopefully our lives and our hearts are filled with the virtues more than the vices. That's been the advice of some of the great spiritual masters. John of the Cross had a way of saying this too, that as you're dealing with bad habits and with sin, what you need to do is rather than just to hold back the bad thing, is rather to fill your hearts with the virtues, mm-hmm. and then the vices have no room in there. And I just like here that Jesus has that connection between literally that space of the heart and here what are vices.
There is something in the gospel for you as you are entering the last months of your canon law studies. It quotes Isaiah the prophet saying, teaching us doctrines, what are human precepts? That's one of the things you learn in canon law, to distinguish which is a human rule, even if it's a religious rule, even if you have to observe it. But this can be flexible, can be dispensed. And then you have divine law, doctrines that are really not dispensable or flexible. And it's good to keep clear what's one thing and what's the other.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. There's something about the Catholic faith that's in theology that I'm sometimes maybe not known or not appreciated, but there's a hierarchy of truths.
Yeah.
Certainly not relativism,
mm-hmm.
but there's a hierarchy of truths. And this is just true in the world and many other things. There are things that are really important, and there are things that we do just because, sometimes and for not the best
exactly.
reasons.
Exactly. And a Pharisee would be someone who would take something that is very secondary and turn it into the most important thing ever. That's one of the problems of the Pharisees of Jesus' time, that they were able to give a lot of importance to things that were not that important, like purity of foods or especially when religion, law, blesses racism or mm-hmm. or blesses discrimination. That's when Jesus had a real problem.
Exactly. Yeah. I think there's a lot here. Is there any particular direction that maybe you're looking to go? I haven't quite clarified what I'm going to do here.
I am, as I said before, I'm very taken by this title of this chapter these two guys wrote, The Pharisees at Heart. If I'm preaching only on this gospel, I would say, when are we being Pharisees at heart?
Yeah.
What rules we follow, which ones we don't follow. You know, it's a modern phenomena that we tend to choose what we want to follow and what we do not want to follow. And then to make sure that we, especially in this hierarchy of truths, that we really are not making what is secondary really the primary reason for our faith.
I want to explore what comes from without and what comes from within, and maybe the excuses we make as we fall into temptations, not only these temptations here, but depression or self-pity or, you know, that really in many cases is a choice. It's a choice. I can wake up every morning and be angry, upset about something, or fall into temptations, or I can make a choice to do
yeah.
otherwise. And there's God helps, but there's a choice there.
And what Jesus is saying here is for a community that problems will come from the inside and not from the outside, but it can be apply to our faith communities also, or even a couple that is struggling. You can always blame the circumstances.
Right.
What Jesus is saying, but no, the circumstances will not be the main problem. The main problem is what is inside. So, I think that's one way to take it.
So here you've just said something better than I could say it. What I was trying
for
to
once,
say...
For once, because it's always the other way around.
What I was trying to express is just that, is that we can blame the circumstances.
Yeah.
And we need to be very careful about doing that.
That happens in my church is not a parish that is growing much. And I always hear excuses. And I know they're trying to be nice to me, to say, well, we're in a difficult neighborhood. It's not a Catholic neighborhood anymore. Our families are older. They don't have children. All these are circumstances. All these are external factors. I really believe that what we need to change is our hearts, and then things will go well in any circumstance, I believe.
You have an excellent attitude, and I really mean this. I think it's...
Well, some days are better than others.
In this particular point of view, for a leader and for a pastor of a community to say, we be honest about where we're at, demographically and otherwise, but we are going to be ruthless in saying we're going to succeed.
You just put it much better than I could ever...
So if you're looking for Mass this weekend, please go somewhere, the parish in your neighborhood, or you can also check archmill.org. That's the Archdiocese of Milwaukee's website.
And we are very thankful for our followers, for the people who listen, and we are very moved by the many messages and support that we receive.
All right. Well, happy Labor Day, and I'll see you next week.
See you next week, Philip.
Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media. Find more about us at breadboxmedia.com.